Moxenum Podcast. My name is Ice-T, and with me today I have Andrew. What's up, dude?
Hi, I'm Andrew.
How's it going?
It's pretty good. We're in another different room from our normal recording room, which I don't like. Kind of bothers me on the inside.
At least the acoustics aren't too bad in this one.
Yeah, other than the fan over to our left, but hopefully that won't come through too much.
That's pleasant white noise in the background.
I don't know if there's such a thing as pleasant white noise.
Besides my velvety soft voice, they're going to have that fan. It's going to lull them to sleep.
I don't want them to fall asleep during the podcast, though.
I want them to just cozy up to it and listen to my voice.
Okay. Just like snuggle whatever.
Yeah, like I do with Morgan Freeman's voice.
Right. Does that happen?
If I told you yes, would it be weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, then absolutely not.
Right, of course. So what kind of stuff you got for us to talk about? I got a few things.
Well, let's start off with a little bit of a PSA.
All right. Public service announcement is what that stands for.
Absolutely.
Fun fact.
So cell phones, right?
They're a thing.
They're incredibly expensive.
They exist.
It's undeniable that they just overcharge every step of the way. Well, finally, they're starting to be able to be kept in check.
Right.
Like T-Mobile, how they've taken away like the whole contract thing. They're really low in their prices and allowing you to like roll over data, and AT&T is starting to follow that. Well, just a couple days ago, Verizon has finally buckled, and they're actually lowering the prices on their rates for existing and new customers.
No, that's pretty cool.
So for those on Verizon, if you have the Share More plan, so basically if you share your line with anybody, just so you know, you can call and you can either get an extra gigabyte of data or you can get $10 off your bill. So it's not good for any like loyalty plan like mine, because I just called a fantastic gentleman named Richard on there.
Shout out to Richard.
He was great. Like I love Verizon customer service. I haven't had one problem with him. I called up, and the first thing he says is like, I've seen you've been a member for, since before 2014. We just like to thank you for your service.
Oh, that's so kind of him.
Do you have any, how has your service been? I said, it's been great. I live in the middle of nowhere, and I can actually talk to people. He's like, well, that's great to hear, and he started laughing, and he said, oh, how can I help you? And I said, well, I'd like to see if I qualify for the cheaper rate. And he said, well, no, you have a loyalty plan, because my dad and I got on a plan last summer. Because he wanted to get a smartphone. He actually went from a brick, like a flip phone, Nextel flip phone, to this, to a Galaxy Samsung S4. And we're on a loyalty plan where I have 2 gigabytes of data, he has 2 gigabytes of data, and then we both have unlimited texting and messaging. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a really good rate, but I don't apply to it. But so I just want to let everybody know that if you're listening and you're on Verizon and you actually have like a family plan or something like that, go call, because you have to call to get the rate. They don't automatically do it.
Well, that seems kind of lame.
Well, it is, but I mean, like, you still can go save $10. So.
Or get an extra gigabyte of data.
Or get an extra gigabyte of data, but I barely use my data.
Yeah, I don't either. It's
like, I mean, it doesn't help that I just, have a 4S that I use until my contract ends next month, which has 3G speeds.
Right.
I don't get the 4G LTE, so unless I'm looking at pictures, it really doesn't matter.
It took my dad so long to figure out how to use a smartphone.
My dad picked up really quick.
Like, the whole concept of typing on the keyboard, he would, like, tap with his index finger, like, on each letter. It's like...
Oh, that's how my dad does it. He holds it in his left hand, and he types one finger.
You do that faster, right?
Like a calculator.
And, like, I told him how to, like, type faster, like, with his thumbs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he started doing that, and he was like, oh, man, this is so much faster. I like this so much better. And then a week later, he's back to doing it the other way. And I'm like, Dad, please. Also, he doesn't really understand the concept of locking it either. He just sort of...
The screen just shut off on its own?
No, well, he turned that off. So it's just like on all the time. And he's like, why is my battery so low all the time?
I'm
like, well...
I bet he has brightness all the way up too.
Have you ever tried locking it? Like, it certainly helps.
Shut off the screen and slow it down. But yeah, my dad got it. He picked it up really quick. Like, I set it up for him. Like, I put flashlight on there. Like, the apps he'd use.
Yeah.
He loves it. He texts... He actually texts really fast. And I just got my mom a Galaxy tablet.
Mm-hmm.
For Christmas, and I downloaded an app called Haywire where you can text over Wi-Fi for free.
Right.
And it was the hardest thing to teach her how to do it, but now I'm getting texts from her constantly. So this was a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, as it does.
So, yeah.
But speaking of T-Mobile, I didn't even realize that they were still like a company. Until...
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they're not a traditional carrier anymore. They're not a contract plan anymore.
Until I saw like their Super Bowl commercial, and I was like, oh, they still exist.
Yeah.
Sprint still exists too. I'm like, where have these guys been all my life?
Yeah, well, they're only good if you're in a metro area.
Yeah, that's true.
I used to sell cell phones, and, like, that was it. Like, I told people, because they're like, oh, Sprint seems like a really good plan. It's, like, half the cost and everything. I'm like, yeah, if you live in the city, it's perfect. And if you don't want to go outside of, like, your city,
mm-hmm.
stick with Sprint. Perfect. But if you want to go outside of, like, your suburbia,
mm-hmm.
you're screwed. Get used to dropped calls and just that little X by the, like, little tower symbol in your phone, because you're never going to get service. Because I had... prepaid Sprint for a while. So, but yeah, so just want to let everybody know Verizon's pretty cool.
This podcast sponsored by Verizon.
I wish.
It's not true. It isn't. Should be. Shout out to them.
All right, your turn. Go ahead. You're up to bat.
So,
what do you have to talk about?
We both watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl for a second.
Yeah, you know, that was actually a topic that I was thinking about discussing.
Honestly, I don't care about the game so much because.
What game? Was there a game there?
The last two minutes were a game.
Yeah, the last 2 minutes. The rest of it was just a regular traditional, like, season game.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about it. You couldn't really tell that the guys were trying that hard. I mean, like...
Dude, Jeremy Lin tried pretty hard.
Well, yeah, he did great. I think he put his heart into it, and everybody else was like, well, that's what happens if I put my heart into it.
He made one play and broke his wrist on that play.
And all the interceptions from Patriots, I mean... It was ridiculous.
And who made that catch, like, on the ground and a ball, like, bounced off his leg?
That was actually really cool.
That was impressive.
It wasn't Butler because he's Patriots because he's the one who intercepted.
Yeah, no, he's defense. It was, I don't know any of the Seahawks receivers. Apparently their number one receiver was, like, 42nd in the league or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
They do not have a very good pass game. That catch, though, that was pretty impressive. One of my roommates was watching it, and he was a Patriots fan. And so he was, like, freaking out because I think it was, like, third down or something. He's like, oh, all right, you know, Patriots are going to get the ball back because it looked like it hit the ground when...
Oh, it totally did. It totally did. I was like, why is he still running? Why is he going? Like, this makes no sense.
And then on the replay, it shows that it bounced off his leg.
No, it bounced off his chest. And then, like, it bounced up and, like, he batted it down
with
his right hand. And the ball, after he hit it, hit his left foot. And then, like bounce back towards him, right into his chest, and he, like, gets up, like, and looks around. And he's like,
"That just happened."
Do I keep going? And he just kind of gets up, and then he starts running, and then he just gets taken down. And I'm just freaking out here. I really didn't have a dog in this fight, you know.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Because you and I talked about it.
Right.
Seahawks won it last year, so if they won again this year, it's like, well, you know, they don't normally win. They normally get to the postseason.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Like, they've been pretty decent for the past couple years, and they were really good last year. But
then Patriots, like, I'm so sick of Belichick. I'm so sick of Brady.
You know, and I didn't realize that they actually haven't won a Super Bowl since 2005 or whatever.
I think it was 2006.
Or 2006. It's been almost, like, 10 years since they've won a Super Bowl. But it just seems like they're in contention every single year.
They always get to, like, the quarterfinals.
Yeah. They get at least to the championship game. It's just like, I'm so sick of them.
Yeah.
But it's really a testament to how good Tom Brady is as a quarterback. Because, I mean, he's the only person who's remained, like, a constant on that team. Everybody else has been changing.
I can't deny that he's a good player.
Yeah.
He seems to be a good guy. Like, you really don't hear much negativity coming from Tom Brady. I just am sick of all the, oh my gosh, Tom Brady's the god of football. Right. Like, I'm tired of that. Just like I'm tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers. Well, that's a different story because I hate him because I love the Detroit Lions and there's a whole rivalry there. But, you know...
I don't have an active dislike of the Patriots like I do with the Packers, but I just don't want to...
I just don't like Brady. Like the rest of the team, I have no problem with you guys. You guys put your heart into it, sure. Brady, I'm just overwhelmed by all the hype.
Yeah, he's so overhyped that you just don't
want to see him anymore. It's like Krispy Kreme donut. I just really don't give a shit anymore. Yeah. Like, it was cool when it first started, and then now it's kind of like, well, this is old news.
That's an incredible analogy. Tom Brady to a Krispy Kreme donut.
So, but you know, so congratulations to the Patriots.
Yeah,
you guys won. It was kind of a shitty game.
The main thing I wanted to talk about, though, was the halftime show.
Oh, my God.
Because...
You enjoyed it?
One of the most... Not really, because I don't like Katy Perry. But one of the most incredible things happened during the halftime show. Two incredible things, actually. The first
was... There was no boobies.
No. Unfortunately, there was no wardrobe malfunction. When can we get Janet Jackson back in the Super Bowl? But the dancing shark.
Or
Channing Tatum. But the dancing sharks were incredible. And probably the greatest idea ever.
You know, that was pretty cool. I gotta say, like.
I thought it was hilarious.
Well, it was like not only the sharks, but I mean, they were like talking beach balls and
like trees
and
too.
Crabs and that type of stuff. That was really cool, though. Like, how they constantly changed the theme between each song. That was cool.
I didn't like that Lenny Kravitz was only on for, like, 2 seconds.
It didn't bother me. I was like, and then after that, what was
I don't know who that other chick was.
I have no idea.
It's like,
I don't think I heard her music before.
No. It's like someone that other people knew, and I was like, I have no idea who this is.
So, but I mean, it was kind of cool that they had, like, what was it, the lion that she rode in on?
Oh, yeah. There's such a big debate over if that was a lion or a tiger.
Let's just call it a liger for this discussion.
Might as well.
But, like, the only problem I have with it is, what are they going to do with it now?
It's going to go into some vault and never be seen again.
That's vital money and resources that could have gone to so much more. Yeah. And then, I was actually scared. I was not surprised. I was not in awe. I was not excited when I saw her on that trapeze, like, thing, pulling her up when she was singing the Shooting Star.
On the star.
I was actually physically scared for her.
No, I was too.
Like, she wasn't, like, really even hanging on. She was, like, holding the microphone. I know you're connected in some
form. She must have been, like, hooked into a harness somehow. But.
Oh, absolutely. But I was actually physically scared because, like, if she did fall, she's just going to be hanging there above everybody. I'm like, that's not good. So, like, the whole time I'm like, don't fall, don't fall. I didn't even hear the song. So I did not like that. Like, the whole time I'm clenching, I'm like, ooh.
I was pretty nervous too.
But the halftime show just wasn't good. The game wasn't that great, except for the last 2 minutes, but then it ended pretty quickly, like, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like,
The one other thing about the halftime show is I thought the actual stage was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, when it was, like, bouncing?
Yeah, the stage where they had, like, I don't know exactly how they did, but they had, like, video projection, like, on the stage.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was, like, have you ever been to, like, one of the bathrooms that had, like, the TV behind the mirror when you're washing your hands?
No.
Oh, that was really cool. Like, because you can, like, see yourself, but then, like, if you focus again behind it, there's a TV or a projector or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, those are pretty neat. So it was basically that concept where it's projecting onto that mirror, but all a mirror is it lets a certain amount of light through when you're, you know, reflection. But it's dimmed a little bit, so it allows projection to come through it.
Right.
So that's how they did it there. But that was really cool.
And I've seen that in a few other places. Like, I think hockey games, they do that quite a lot.
Oh, really?
They project stuff on the ice and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it looked cool.
So tell me what you thought about the commercials.
The commercials were fairly lackluster. Wasn't a huge fan.
What was your favorite one?
I gotta go with the Liam Neeson
one.
Like, that's the only one I can actually remember. So.
Angry Neeson 52.
Yeah. I thought it was gonna go, like, full-fledged, like, Taken speech, which
it's
sort of a parody of it, but he didn't quite get the main line, the, I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna kill you or whatever.
That's what I thought it was gonna be. I was like, I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna send a bunch of barbarians and dragons your way.
But it was still pretty incredible.
It was fantastic. Liam? It's Liam. It was so good. Yeah. I loved it. You know, Liam Neeson. And then, of course, the other cool one was seeing Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yeah.
He was behind the desk.
That was pretty funny.
I mean, I love Bryan Cranston. He does so good. Like, he actually is rated at number one actors for how much time they actually put into practicing their roles and being in that environment. And you can definitely see it when he plays Walter White. And that was pretty cool. You know, I really like those two commercials. The rest of them, I mean, of course, there was the puppy and the Budweiser commercial, which always chokes me up every time.
But super cute.
It's not surprising anymore, but they do it very well. I can't complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to be my favorite commercial.
Right.
It's going to be one of my most memorable, but it's not going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
But then, like, there just really wasn't much. There was the whole Viagra pill that went into the car.
Oh, yeah. Which,
that one was kind
of that one was kind of silly.
I was like, that's actually kind of creative. Like, somebody to actually plan all that out. But, like, it got a little ridiculous after how many times it bounced around.
Yeah. And then you had commercials like the
The
kid who was, like, dead, so he didn't get all the chances
I'll
to
never
do all
get
the
to go
stuff.
Around the world with my best friend, and it shows him with a little puppy.
Yeah.
And I'll never get to graduate school.
It's like, Jesus.
I'll never get my first kiss. I'll never get to what, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'll never get to be able to multiply or do division.
It's like, thanks for depressing me, Super Bowl. That's just what I wanted.
Or like one that I thought was really well done that I was happy they did. Like, they did a lot of the stuff. And it's understandable why they did, because the NFL has a big thing going on with domestic violence and that type of stuff. And I feel like the NFL has both the responsibility and is the reason why there's so much tension. Because, like, football is such a high testosterone sport.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it's part of the reason why guys get so pumped up during those games, especially.
Yeah.
But also, since they have such a huge audience, especially from a male's perspective, that it's a great time to be able to put these messages across, which was really cool with the pizza commercial where the chick called 911. I heard it on the radio a couple days before on NPR, but, you know, the 911 responder answers, 911, what's your emergency? And she's like, hi, I'd like to order a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, man, this is 911. This is not a pizza line. Do you have an emergency? And she goes, yes. And she starts ordering the pizza. And he goes, ma'am. And you can tell he's getting a little frustrated. And I can understand why. At first, when I heard it on the NPR, they didn't discuss it at first. Right. So I'm like, so this is a prank. You know, obviously, this is a bit about somebody who did a prank. And then, you know, then he started to ask questions like, is there an emergency? And she's like, yes. And then that is great because that's actually what you should do if you're in that type of situation. So that was a good commercial. But, like, all the other ones were, like, there's just so many.
Yeah.
They're great.
There's always a lot.
I would love for them to actually just sprinkle that through the whole entire season, those commercials.
I know, right?
But to, like, just every commercial break have two, like, be a real man. Love your family. Mm-hmm. Not beat your family. And stuff like that. Like, it's like there's two, like, per commercial break. That was a little much.
Overdoing it just a little bit.
You know, I started to actually feel bad for watching football. Let's get to that point. But in general, this was probably my least favorite Super Bowl.
Yeah, did not have a lot of hype for it.
You know,
for me.
Number one, the teams that went into it, I was not excited for. Mm-hmm. But I'll still watch it. But the game, it just wasn't that exciting.
Right.
Which isn't the team's fault. Is both of them played the game well, which made it not exciting. Right. But I'm hoping for more picks, fumbles, flags. There was no flags, really. Yeah. Which
pretty clean game.
Isn't bad. That's good that people are actually playing well, but I'd like to see a little more done.
Right.
The commercials weren't that great, and because that's like another thing that you watch for. Because like all these people are putting in all these creative avenues.
It's like, where most of the production value for the year goes, is into their Super Bowl commercial.
It's kind of like Black Friday for retail companies.
Yeah, basically.
And then the halftime wasn't that great. I mean, I love Katy Perry. She's a fantastic artist. I won't deny that. She's not my favorite. I'm not going to actually go on my way to go listen to her, but if she's on the radio, I'll listen to her song.
Sure.
But just not that hyped.
Not that great.
No. But like the Doritos commercial, when the pigs could fly one.
Yeah, that was...
I feel like that's been done so many times.
I feel like I've seen the pigs can fly commercial before.
And it just... And like regular car commercials, just, you know, these are badass. You know, you're going to be a really cool person if you get this car type commercials. Like, this wasn't done well. I mean, even like the Pierce Bronson one for...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that was like almost forced, it seemed.
Yeah, it did.
Like,
he was James Bond, remember?
Yeah.
Like, well,
it should have been Daniel Craig.
Yeah, if it had been Daniel Craig, I think it probably would have been done better.
Pierce is a great actor, but I feel like it's been 10 years, and James Bond's a little disconnected. I mean, like, when I think of James Bond, I think of Sean Connery and Pierce Bronson.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But I feel like Pierce Bronson didn't only do action movies.
Right.
Like, Daniel Craig only does action movies and TV shows. So I feel like it would have been better with Daniel Craig. But yeah.
Definitely.
What are your final thoughts on the Super Bowl? I feel like I just dominated that.
That's fine. Yeah, it was all right. Whatever. Wasn't the best. Wasn't the worst.
What do you think of some of the movie commercials that got released? Like there's some that have been released. We discussed a few of them on previous podcasts about 2 months ago. It was like Genesis and Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping for a Star Wars commercial.
Yeah,
I was really hoping on a trailer release for it, but it didn't happen. But on the ones that were,
honestly,
what do you think?
I don't even remember most of the movie commercials either.
There's a little bit more to the Jurassic World one. Like, it showed how... Who's the main actor in that one? The young man?
Chris Pratt.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy who was Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, is that who it was? Mm-hmm. It didn't look like him.
Same guy.
But how he's training Velociraptors.
Oh, really?
Do you notice that?
No. I don't... I might have not seen that.
You know, might not have been. You might have been talking to somebody.
Attention, yeah.
But so in this commercial... It was actually, it's getting a little crazy.
Right.
Because it didn't make sense to me why, like, all of a sudden, in the first trailer, we see him on a bike, and all of a sudden, the Velociraptors go with him after something.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, like, the first half of it is just them hyping up the Spinosaurus again, like, in Jurassic Park 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then, then it goes to him. You know, showing him how he trains these Velociraptors, like he's like a lion trainer or whatever you'd see, like he actually trains them, and so that makes more sense that they're actually on his side, which is gonna actually is kind of cool because you actually get a different perspective on the Velociraptors rather than because let's be real, they're more than just killing machines back in the day. They were well equipped to kill, but they actually had a, like, there were wolves where they have a really, you know, sophisticated social structure.
Right.
Which is going to be really cool to see. But, you know, just teaming up with Velociraptors to take out down a Spinosaurus, and like, you saw more of how the park's going to get overrun with everybody in it. With like pterodactyls picking up people and that sounds
fantastic.
Which I don't think is actually quite accurate, because I'm pretty sure the mass, you know, picking it up, I don't think they'd have enough lift, but that's a whole other story.
No, it's like the swallow and the coconut.
Oh, yes. How heavy?
Yeah, they're like tied together or whatever.
Right.
I don't, whatever.
But yeah, so, and then of course there was the Genesis commercial from Terminator, which was the first time I've ever seen it, because I'm not a big, huge Terminator
fan.
Yeah,
I'm not either.
But to see, how they're going to, how well they're doing the CGI and the computer graphics and just whatever post-production stuff it takes to be able to make a remastered young Schwarzenegger in there. I was like, I don't know how they're doing that, but that's pretty cool.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm pretty sure that takes a lot of work to be able to take that model and to like put it into high definition and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but because I never really was a big fan of it. Yeah. I guess I don't understand the concept. That might be my fault, but I'm not saying anything against.
Yeah, like, I've, like, watched them all when they were on TV before, but I've never really, like, gone out of my way to see them.
I think I watched the last one. It was the first one I watched all the way through, and with Christian Bale, and I was like, I don't look at the hype. I really don't understand it. Which, I know, if anybody's listening and they're a huge fan of Terminator, they're like, don't watch the last one, just skip it. But like, I heard the first one you really have to watch. The second one's really good, but to me, they're just kind of like X-Men movies. I really just don't give a shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the one movie commercial I actually remember is for Pitch Perfect 2, because so here's how I first saw Pitch Perfect 1, okay?
You actually seen it?
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen it.
Okay.
Because last year, all of my friends got together. We all gathered around this, like...
You went to the movie store, and they saw that they were out of the Notebook, so instead
we got Pitch Perfect. No, because, like, my roommates were, like, a big fan of this movie, and I'm like...
That's really funny.
Like, all right. And
like Bridesmaids. I haven't seen it, but it's really good.
I've actually seen Bridesmaids too, and it's pretty good. Only because of Chris O'Dowd, because Chris O'Dowd is hilarious. But so all my roommates were really big fans of this movie. So we had like 12 people in our living room in our apartment that I was living in last year, and we were all gathered around this like 30-inch TV, and we were just watching Pitch Perfect. And I'm like, what is even happening right now? Like, this is the most heterosexual thing I've ever done, for sure. And then it actually ended up being pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, and also Anna Kendrick is amazing. And, that's all I'm going to say about that. But so Pitch Perfect 2, they show the trailer and they're like, the Green Bay Packers invade Pitch Perfect or something.
Yeah.
Like, something that's interesting. So then.
I'm sorry if Aaron Rodgers isn't, I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah, it didn't look like he was. It looked like it was.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's going to do a cameo.
Probably. He's gonna, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, there's one other thing I want to talk about for him. But, so one of my roommates was like, yeah, the reasons why the Green Bay Packers are in it because they came on set with a routine already ready, and they're like, hey, you should put us in the movie. And then they did.
That's seriously the history of it?
Apparently, that's what I've been told. I'm like, that's actually kind of incredible.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do there.
So what was your thing about Aaron Rodgers?
So do you ever watch Key and Peele?
I'm not even familiar with it. What's Key and Peele?
They're a comedy duo. They do stuff on like Comedy Central and stuff.
Okay.
They originally started out with like this web show.
When did they start?
Because
I'd like to use the excuse that I haven't had cable TV in 2 years.
Right. It was a while ago, I think. I don't remember
that exactly. Okay, so that was my responsibility.
I think they started this thing in particular in, like, 2011. But they did something called the East-West Bowl, where they did, like, player introductions, like they do in various sports. But the characters they're playing just have, like, the most ridiculous names ever. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
They'll have, like, different accents and different, like, ways of speaking. It's a really funny series of, like, short videos. But so this last one, Aaron Rodgers is at the end, but his name is, like, Double A Ron Rodgers or something. But it's like trying to, because it's two guys who do a bunch of different characters,
right.
But then they like threw in actual players that have like these ridiculous names, like haha Clinton Dix from the corner from the Packers.
I can see where you're
going. He was in that too. Yeah. It's like, is that real? Or like, if you didn't know that he was a real player, you'd be like, there's no way.
There's
that's a real
no
man.
Way that somebody named their child haha number one and then have Dix at the end of their name.
To be fair, it is D-I-X.
Absolutely. But, yeah. Of course, then there's also Clinton in there. So you're like, oh, haha, President Clinton and the whole what's-her-face conspiracy or whatever it was.
Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, that's what it was, that whole deal. So I'm like, oh, every time I hear his name, I think of that whole thing.
But yeah.
If you don't know what that is, go search Bill Clinton.
Just Google it.
And
it'll come up. Don't worry. But yeah, so the East-West Bowl videos are funny, and you should watch them.
Interesting.
What else?
Well, I have one.
Okay, go for it.
So an open beta just released a couple days ago for Battlefield Hardline.
Uh-huh.
Have you tried it?
No.
Are you going to try it?
I wasn't planning on it.
It's
absolutely
free beta.
Yeah, but I don't want to play Battlefield.
But it's actually a really cool experience.
I have other things I can play.
Absolutely. I'm not saying you have to, by any means. But
Travis, please stop forcing this on me.
No.
Okay.
If you remember a couple, probably the summer when we released this episode of the podcast, I was like, Hardline's going to be awful. All this is an expansion pack of Hardline. And
four.
And I could, Battlefield 4, I'm sorry. That's all it's going to be. And I could not have been further from the truth.
Actually,
really? After trying this beta, I'm like, it's an open beta.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. It's free. And that's my favorite price tag.
It is. It's pretty much the best price tag of all time.
Unless they pay me. That'd be even better price tag. But
you don't want to be a game tester, though. So.
Why?
Because it's just terrible.
Well, yeah.
Because you play the same game over and over and over again. Like the same section of a game looking for bugs and stuff. It's not a great deal.
If I got paid for it, I'd do it.
Seems like it'd be a great deal. Not a great deal.
I'm sure it's not. But I'm one of those people who could do it. Anyway, so I was expecting an awful... I mean, not exactly awful, but what I was expecting was the usual Battlefield experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, just shooting at people using cops and robbers guns.
Sure.
And, of course, they told you about these two different play types, which is one is called Heist, which you're either the cop side or you're the robber side. They have different names, but that's what we're going to consider them. And if you're the robbers, there's, like, different parts you're trying to break into. So, like, the first step is there's two different locations on the map that you have to – you can either do both or one of these options to be able to break into the vault. So you can either, like, break into the vault room using C4 on one side, or you can go to the front of the vault and actually put a device on it that's timed. Both mm-hmm. of these devices are timed and can be stopped by the law enforcement by all you're doing is trying to basically use this device to open the vault.
Okay.
So you can do either one or you can do both for giving you two options to get to what the next step is, the loot. So you have to go get this money bag in the central location through one or both of these areas, grab the bag, and then take the bag to the opposite side of the map. There's two different helicopter rendezvous points. You can take it to one, or you can take it, like, either one, or you can do the same one twice. Just bring a bag of money to there. You have to bring it to the location. You have to hold it at the location for, like, let's say, like, 30 seconds.
Okay.
Meanwhile, you know, the enemy is, you know, they have constant respawns, while the robbers have a limited number.
Interesting.
No, wait, I'm sorry. Law enforcement has a limited number. And, no, I was right.
Yeah.
Law enforcement has unlimited. Robbers have a limited amount. They have 100.
It'd make more sense if the robbers have
Yeah, so they have a limited amount. So the cops are trying just to kill. And, you know, of course, if you die while you're carrying the package and enough of the enemy comes by and stands over it, you know, it'll despawn the item back to the central location and start the whole process over again. So, you know, that's pretty basic. But what's really cool about it is, like, there's so many different avenues to get out of, like, the building where you can, like, break through. You can use a rocket launcher to blow open a wall.
Right.
Where rubble falls down, you can run up onto the roof. And another cool thing, you know, of course you're using weapons you'd find on the street. You know, like Uzis, Tech Nines, that type of stuff.
Sure.
Shotguns, sawed-off shotguns, baseball bats for the robbers, and regular law enforcement, sniper rifles, that type of stuff. But there's also really cool gadgets like ballistic shields,
Jesus,
zip lines, grappling hooks. It creates a whole new experience than just a regular, I'm going to get an assault rifle or a sniper or get in a vehicle and just shoot at the enemy like in regular Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. And then, of course, there's regular conquest, which is capture the flag, kind of like you have to dominate an area.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a bunch of different control points on the map, and you want to be able to have your team get all the points they can.
And then, like...
Because when you have the points, you the enemy, both you and the enemy have, like, let's say 400 tickets, like 400 okay. points. And let's say there's 5 points on the map. If you own three and they only own two, their points are going to decrease faster
right.
than yours. So you want to hold yours and you want to be able to have the most, mm-hmm. if not all. So that's regular conquest. That's, you know, not, that's fine. You know, that's usual Battlefield, except there's cool vehicles, and the grappling hooks and that type of stuff. But also there's a really awesome, I really liked it. It's a brand new aspect of the conquest game type on this, where the points of interest that you want to be able to capture are cars.
Oh, marked cars.
So it's like high speed chase. So like each team, if you want, you can be in like a car or you can be a motorcycle, and you want to be able to get to the car. You want to be in the car. And the only way you can get gain points, you can't get it from just sitting in it.
Right.
So you can't just camp it. You have to be at a high speed.
That's incredible.
So you have to be driving and going around and not crash your car, because it will explode and then a new point will respawn yeah. later. But there's like 5 cars, including big semis and regular sports cars, muscle cars. And so the enemy is trying to attack you. Of course, they have a helicopter and you have a helicopter. It's easy to say that it's just a massive adrenaline rush when you're playing it, because you're like, I want to get this car. So you get in yeah. the car and you're trying to chase it, and you can get buddies that are in your car that can like – you know, jump out of the window and sit on the windowsill and use, like, rocket launchers and machine right. guns to shoot enemies that are approaching.
That sounds like that would be a lot of fun.
It's really cool. I highly recommend trying the beta. And send me an invite, because I'll play.
Okay.
But it's really cool. And then you're also trying to, like, take down the enemy. So it's actually a really cool experience.
How long is the beta going to last for?
See, that's difficult to say. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It started on Tuesday, so I'm thinking it's probably going to be, like, a week.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But
it might be a couple weeks.
It might be a couple weeks. But something happened last night that I think might affect that.
Oh,
last
boy.
Night at about 6 o'clock until at least midnight, all Xbox multiplayer servers were down for all games besides Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and
Jesus
Destiny.
Christ.
So the Hardline beta, regular Battlefield, Halo, all these servers were shut down for some reason. They weren't accessible. So they fixed them by this morning, because I went and played a couple rounds, because I wanted to know before I went on the podcast if they were back up mm-hmm. yet, and of course they were. But yeah, so the beta is actually really cool, and it's making me second guess my original assumption
yeah.
that this is going to be just the regular. My only fear is the replayability of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you can only run around a map so many times
yeah.
before it gets boring. Now, that's not fair for me to say, because this is the beta. Not all textures are done. You have one map for each game type. Actually, there's 2 maps for Hotwire, which is the one where you run around
oh,
with
yeah.
the points. It's called Hotwire. There's 2 maps for that one. Heist only has the 1 map, which is the cops versus robbers one. And then they have regular conquest, which is the same map. Something that I love about Battlefield, and they're continuing, it looks like, is... like, when you get so far in a Battlefield map, there is always something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So on, like, Battlefield 4, if you're at this map called Paracel Storm, you get so far into it, and all of a sudden, a huge, like, tsunami comes.
Cool.
So, like,
I'm on board with that.
The wind starts blowing, you know, houses start blowing over, roofs come off, all this kind of stuff, and it looks so real.
Uh-huh.
Battlefield is a gorgeous game.
Yeah.
It's part of it is because it takes dozens and dozens and dozens of gigabytes to get the HD playability. it's a huge game, but you really get a gorgeous game to start out with. That's fun. But then, like, as a storm's coming, a huge ship comes and it just crashes and breaks, like, one of the islands, and it becomes a control point. And in this beta, what happens in this map called Dust Bowl is, like, halfway through, this huge dust storm comes through.
Jesus.
So, like, all the snipers are useless.
Right.
So, like, it's like, what's nice about these is it changes up the game entirely.
Yeah.
Because, like, you just might be dominating, but because, like, you might have a bunch of snipers who are really good and you just can't move. But when this dust storm comes in, it's a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the game switches.
Yeah. Definitely one of the best things about Battlefield is how interactive you can be with the environment. and the map itself. Like, even when you're talking about, like, blowing a hole in the side of a building with a rocket launcher to escape.
Yeah.
Stuff like that that you just don't do in other shooters.
No. And that's what's really fun, because you can, like, break fences. You can, you can do basically anything you'd want to in that game. Plus, now with the zip lines and grappling hooks, you can basically go anywhere you see.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I love to snipe. So, like, I can get on top of a water tower and with my grappling hook, climb up, shoot my grappling hook so I don't have to worry about somebody coming up behind me, and then I can shoot a zip line down, so like if I'm starting to get heat, I can go ahead and quick get out of there really quickly. Right. It's a brand new experience that I was not expecting, and I'm actually, I don't think I'm going to buy it when it releases right away, but I think I'm definitely going to at least rent it. Mm-hmm. So
how difficult would you say, and this isn't, this point I'm trying to make isn't going to really apply to you that much, but
okay,
how difficult would you say it was to learn, like, let's just say the new mechanics in Hardline and how to use them and stuff?
I can't fly a chopper.
No?
No. The thing I really dislike about the new games for Battlefield is each time the controls for pilots, like, because the problem of it is terribly hard. What makes Battlefield so much different than Call of Duty and Halo even is that it's not easily a game that you can just pick up and play.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different mechanics like bullet drop that's so realistic, like, because you can change your scope to be able to be zeroed into the distance that you're shooting. So, yeah, like, let's say I'm shooting 200 yards. Instead of having to raise my crosshairs up arbitrary level, I can change it because I know my distance is around 200 meters. I can change my scope to shoot at 200 meters. So that way, right in the middle of my crosshairs, it shoots at 200 meters. And that type of stuff is just realistic. And that's not something that somebody that's new to the first-person shooter genre might like.
Hmm. See, this is interesting because I read an article on The Escapist. And it was during the DICE Awards they did an interview. The DICE Awards were this past week, which, if you don't know, are one of the more prestigious video game award shows. Not like the VGAs, which absolutely nobody cares about.
No.
And you know, someone was interviewing an EA executive, and this executive basically said that they feel that their games are still too hard. That for new players to pick up, it's still way too difficult, and it might turn some players off of it.
You're absolutely correct. Hmm. And that has been actually one of the selling points of Battlefield.
Right.
Like, I went online, you know, to see what people are saying about Battlefield 4, what they're saying about Battlefield 3. And that's, like, one of the things that people who are a diehard, the people who go and buy the premium game, which allows you, like, all the new maps and that type of stuff, we basically pay for the game twice. I don't do it because, number one, I don't have the money. Number two, I think it's dumb. I shouldn't have to pay for the game twice. Thank you, EA.
Shout out to EA.
But, you know, that's one of the things that people really like about the game. You really don't get those, I'm going to call them screechers on the mic.
It's a good name for
them. These 10-year-olds who get on and, like, they love Call of Duty. That's great for them. Like, and of course, it's not saying that there aren't screechers in Battlefield. But the thing that's really nice about this game is it kind of weeds out that whole market. It is not an easy game to pick up and play. But when you do, you realize, and when you get used to those, because, like, there's so many mechanics that you have to learn while you play.
Yeah.
Like the lean feature, which you have to get really well situated behind like a rock or against a wall or something like that. And you pull the left trigger and your guy, instead of looking at the wall, will lean over, exposing less of your body, but you're still able to fire down range.
Yeah.
And then, of course, using the gadgets and all that kind of stuff like rocket launchers, repair tools, explosive ordnance device, robots, which is like these little handheld, not handheld, but little trucks that drive around and they can destroy
RC
mines.
Cars that explode.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I like it.
You know, they're not easy to get to use, but when you do, you kind of get a really good appreciation on how different your experience is from what you're used to with Call of Duties.
Right.
Not to say Call of Duties aren't great games. They're great games. Not my preferred genre anymore. I've stopped buying after Ghosts, and like I wouldn't even say I'm halfway through. I'd probably say I've played 15% of what the game offers in Call of Duty Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I have just lacked any interest to continue playing them.
If any of the Call of Duties would ever get below like $15 on Steam, I'd probably buy them. But besides that, I'm like, I'm not doing that.
They're like I said, they're great games. You know, they have very bland. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1, that was probably one of my favorite ones in Modern Warfare 2. Mm-hmm. After that, it just got bland after that.
Yeah, very
Like, even the almost, campaigns.
Yeah, almost, like, saturated with just being, like, the same thing over and over again.
And
for the most part.
To their benefit, they always try to change the perk system, everything like that. Yeah. You know, where they go by your score instead of the amount of kills you get with an item, and then you can purchase them at your choice. You know, that's cool. You're trying to change it up, but it still just feels the same. Now, in Battlefield, it's totally different because, like, instead of just being, you know, you're focused on the individual, instead now you have this squad you're in.
Right.
So it's four people on your team. This is in Battlefield 4 and Hardline. So you have four people on your team, and you're able to play one of four different classes, whether it's assault, which is regular assault rifle. But the thing is that they're focused on medic, basically.
Yeah.
You get the defibrillator, where if your enemy gets shot and killed, you can go hit your defibrillator on a guy or give him a med pack. Engineer, which is the explosives ordnance guy, rocket launchers, mines.
You can somehow repair vehicles with a blowtorch.
Absolutely.
Makes
or
sense.
Destroy enemies. I can take a tank. I can take a blowtorch to a tank. Good thing we paid for all that armor.
Yeah.
It can just be taken down with a little butane torch. There's a support class, which is the, you know, light machine gun class that has ammo. And then, of course, there's a sniper class, recon, which is really cool. And my point about saying this is that what's really cool is that you can just see everybody's play type in your team, because you can spawn on your teammates within the game. You don't have to spawn at a certain point. Like, you have to spawn back all the way at your spawn. You don't have to spawn on the points that you captured in Conquest. You can spawn on your teammates, which creates a whole new experience along with your squad leader in the team, which I'm so glad they changed in Hardline, because in Battlefield 4... this is where it all started, where you can hold the right bumper and it gives you a whole different communication button, because not everybody likes to talk on the mic.
Right.
Instead, you can be like, I need medic, I need ammo, I need a ride. But what the squad leader gets to do is he can be able to look at a capture point, and he can just hit the right bumper, and it's on all squad members' queue, attack this point or defend this point. And so you guys can group up if you want to. It doesn't always happen. But there's a lot of teamworking people when they get in the squads, like I noticed with the beta, that want you to be able to pick a point and let's go get it together.
Sure.
Which is really cool. That's what's really...
It's always nice when, even if you aren't in the same room as someone, you can still actually have some kind of teamwork.
And I don't even need to talk.
Yeah.
I can do them all, like, you know, somebody might give me a med kit and I can go hit the right button, I can hit thank you. Or I can accidentally, like, let's say... blow up somebody, a teammate's mind. I don't think that's even possible. Let's say that. But I can hit sorry or something like that. You know, that's what's really cool. But what they did in Battlefield 4 is that your squad leader is arbitrary, you know, but it can't change. So if that person keeps playing and they don't pick any points, because you can hit request order, which means, hey, I want to work as a team. Let's do this
right.
To the squad leader. Because you get points if you work as a team. You get more points because, like, if you kill enemies at the point that you're supposed to get, you get more points. If you capture the point that it's been selected, you get more points. But if the guy wasn't working, you don't get those points. And Battlefield 4 is kind of like tough shit. Hardline, however, if you hit request order and the person doesn't respond, like, within a couple minutes, picking a point, they're automatically dropped in your squad league because you're like, I want to work. Let's do this.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Another thing that separates Battlefield from Call of Duty is like the commander or in beta, is called Hacker. What it is a player who chooses to play the game as not a soldier, but they get to look over and can go to each squad, survey like what they're doing, they can say, attack this point,
mm-hmm.
and so that squad will go, and then you can choose other squads, attack different ones, the same ones, but you can also do perks with that. You can say like, I see that they're going to go attack this point. I'm going to give them UAV so they can see the enemies that are around them. So it can change the game entirely. They can like send in supplies, like a big, huge crate that comes down. They'll resupply all the teammates. They can send cruise missiles. They can do vehicle scans, so it'll show up on their whole map on where any enemies are.
Hmm.
So it's a whole new experience compared to like what you're used to with the usual first-person shooter experience. Plus, of course, there's the vehicles. I could go on and on about the vehicles, about like the jets, and I can't fly jets.
One of my roommates really likes Battlefield, and I've watched him play it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't understand how you can possibly fly a jet in first person. It looks so difficult.
It is. It is. And even in third person, because like you're using all the controls, like for accelerate and for pitch and everything. It's just, I can't do it. I can't do it because like I inevitably. inevitably get like somebody behind me. Right. I'm trying to shake them off and crash into a building.
Of course.
Or like I'm trying to chase somebody and I get like three shots on them, and then like somebody gets behind me. I'm like, fuck, I'm dead. It's awful. Chopper, I'm excellent at, which is normally the opposite of way. Normally people can't do it because like they'll get up and they'll start flying, but they don't know how to like land or anything. Right. Because like you have to kind of go backwards where you put your tail down to decrease speed and then lower. Nobody quite gets that. So they just kind of like go
slowing down is a tough concept.
No. So they just go full tilt and then just kind of like crash. And you're just like, you just hope to jump out fast enough to be able to get out. So that part's really cool. Except the thing I really don't like is that they're trying to change the controls for jets and for helicopters each time to make it easier. But every time that you get used to it,
yeah, like every time it changes, that just makes it harder.
And
yeah.
Then of course they change the names for it each time. So like, I want what was called in Battlefield 4 the veteran control stick for my helicopter, sure. Which was what was default in Battlefield 3. So I wanted the veteran. I looked for that in Battlefield beta. Not available.
Not even there.
It's like, nice. There's Legacy, there's Southpaw, which is normal, like, stick, like, labels now. But, like, it doesn't tell me. Like, I just want veteran. Just give me what was called veteran. But besides that, you know, I really like the beta, and I'm really considering buying it. I'm probably not right away, but yeah.
Shout out to Battlefield Hardline.
That was a good rant.
It's all right, Chris, calm down. Actually, getting Travis's seal of approval, which I'm kind of surprised about.
Hey, I gave quite a few games in the past seal of approval.
Yeah, but that's before you absolutely destroyed them, so.
I never destroyed Battlefield.
Yeah, sure you did.
When did I
Loads say? Of times. Right around E3, you were pretty salty.
Oh, because that was on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Because that was Invisible Fences, lag all the time. Teammates that all of a sudden like disappear, enemies that just spawn out of nowhere, and maps were tiny.
So everyone's a ghost, basically, is what you're telling me.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful, and they refused to do any bug fixes on the 360. They're like, we're going to bug you enough until you get the Xbox One, and then you'll enjoy your experience.
Yeah, there you go.
Buy the game twice, and you don't even get the premium perks, so I have to buy it 3 times if I wanted to get premium. Or 4 times
if you wanted
both. If I wanted a premium on both. So, yeah.
So are you done with Battlefield now? You got it out of your system?
I did.
All right, good.
I did. Let me ask you this. Are you going to try the beta?
I might.
I mean, it's free. It's actually a quick download. It took me about a half an hour.
I'm going to consider it.
Are you really?
Probably won't happen, but I'm going to consider it.
Please, just try for me.
I might do it. Maybe.
Just for like at least the Hotwire part.
I might try Hotwire because that sounds like a lot of fun.
It actually is really fun. Like I'm not a big GTA fan,
right?
But I feel like that's what it would be if it was GTA and Battlefield had a love child.
Probably.
It'd be called Battlefield Hardline.
Except the driving in GTA was probably much worse.
It's actually really good in this game.
Just because GTA's driving has always been pretty bad. I don't know why. They try to go like super realistic, but then it's like if you're going high speeds, you just can't do anything. Like you can't turn or anything in GTA. So it's like,
I feel like,
well,
that's realistic though.
Kind of. It is. But it's like,
it's a video game. Don't make me do this.
I need to turn here because the game is telling me to. So why, when I'm trying to turn, am I suddenly spinning around 400 times?
Oh, it's like that'll take you out of control.
Yeah.
See, that sucks.
It's pretty bad.
In Battlefield, you can just like hit the brake and you can kind of drift around a corner real quick. It's awesome.
At least it was that way in GTA 4. I think GTA 5 driving is actually better, but
anyway. I'm not a GTA fan, and I don't think you are either.
Not really. I like other open world games that are like
Skyrim.
I was thinking like GTA games, but more interesting. Like Saints Row. I'm actually replaying Sleeping Dogs right now, which is fantastic.
Yeah? That's some rather old game, though, isn't it? It's like 2 years old?
Came out in 2012.
Yeah. Wow, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Good game. I think I don't have anything else to talk about that. So, you know who Inside Gaming is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, have you heard about how they have left Machinima?
No. I was wondering that because they show up on their own name on my, like, not my subscription, but my recommended feed.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know if, like, Machinima canceled them or if they just decided to leave.
I doubt they canceled them.
They never said. But they have officially left Machinima. And they have started a new channel.
Yeah.
And it's called Funhouse. And they are actually employees of Rooster Teeth now.
Hmm.
Rooster Teeth opened an office in L.A. And they have hired all the Inside Gaming guys after they left.
Doesn't mean I'm going to like it.
And now
I hate that format that they do.
Well, they're going to be doing different stuff than
I hate, because it just seems so usual, where it's these two guys that are standing at the camera and they constantly try to make jokes over each other in his voice like this, and just these comments like this. And I just, and they're just both looking straight, and I, I hate
Inside
that.
Gaming was much better when it was actual machinima rather than the live action stuff. But,
well, I'm talking about, like, the news feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Inside Gaming used to be a news show, but it was a Halo machinima.
Oh.
And it was actually good because it was, like, just Adam Kovic in it rather than having a bunch of different people.
I like the stuff they talk about. I just hate the format they do it in.
Yeah. I really don't like the live action stuff they've done. Like, I stopped watching after they stopped being a machinima.
Like, when it just shows them both standing up there?
Yeah, like, this isn't interesting.
I never considered that live action, but that's not a bad way to put it.
Yeah.
That's probably accurate.
When
I think of live action, I'm thinking of scripted shit, but...
Well, yeah. I just mean, like, not...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, I thought that was interesting. That
no, that's awesome.
Rooster Teeth actually employed those guys.
So, I'm not surprised. Do you see how many views they get? I mean, it doesn't help that they will automatically put on, like, any trailer that's big.
Yeah. And Adam Kovic, the main guy, he's, like, he's been friends with Rooster Teeth for a while. Like, he was in the Gauntlet Season 2, and he showed up on their live stream, their Extra Life live stream. So, you know, it's cool. We'll see what kind of stuff they put out, if it's any good.
Speaking of different channels, I just kind of found Extra Credits.
Oh, yeah?
Have you seen those?
Yep.
Those are actually pretty cool, because, like...
Those are definitely interesting.
They're really well-informed.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about, like, you know, what makes a good female character.
Mm-hmm.
I found that one extremely cool, along with comparing... today, actually, I watched Skyrim's opening first 10 minutes. Have you seen that one?
No. Did they do, like, an analysis of it?
Or? They did. And, like, so an intro... And they had a great point. An intro should get you hyped about the game.
Mm-hmm.
That first 10 minutes should tell you, especially if it's, like, you know, where all you have is just a camera that you can move around, that, you know, they're touring you around the place. It should show you what you're going to be experiencing. It should get you hyped about mm-hmm. the next, you know, 300 hours you're going to spend.
Yeah.
And their comparison was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1. Are you familiar with the opening scene? What it is, you know, you're basically... You're
going through, like, the training area.
No, well,
or do they mean on the ship?
The assassination, like not assassination. Your execution. Like,
oh, campaign, yeah, that part. Yeah, I forgot
where
about
you
that.
Know you get put in the vehicle and you're going through the streets of Baghdad or whatever it is, and it basically
it's an unnamed Arabian country, please.
Exactly. Well, you can tell that what the comparison was. It was it's an Islamic, unstable area, where they speak Arabic and there's obviously martial law.
Yeah,
and you know, that was their comparison. And they said Call of Duty did the exact same thing that Skyrim did,
mm-hmm.
but Skyrim was later. But Call of Duty did it better because, you know, they actually had exciting stuff happening. And the people that were driving you and the two people that were in the front seat, they were very close together, but they never talked to you. The only exposition that was happening was from, like, a loudspeaker above you. So you could look around and see your environment that you'd be playing in and see, like, you get the whole context of your game and what they called the core something, basically what the meat of the game is. Mm-hmm. And you're getting that as you're going through. You're getting the whole context of the game. Skyrim, on the other hand, like, the thing that I found the most interesting that he's talking about is that you had one guy on your far left that you had to turn your head all the way to the left to talk to, and a guy on your right that was talking to, and it was an exposition where they talk about all these different things. They're trying to fill you on what's happening.
Basically, yeah.
But they're using all this jargon that people like me, and he totally hit the nail on the head when he said, people like me who have never played this as a first game, this will go straight over the head. It filters it. Like, right. I wasn't listening. I was looking around what's happening. But, like, they couldn't have chose a worse spot to do it. Like, I was expecting, you know, to see nice big, you know, mountains around, some crumbling castles, that type of stuff. Instead, you're in this shitty wagon. Like
in the forest.
In the wintry forest, yeah. Where it's the least interesting, you know, and there's nothing around. And, you know, there's these people talking on both sides, and you have to look at them as they talked, compared to where in Call of Duty, you don't have to look around. You actually can look around because the people up front aren't talking to you. So you don't have to, like, look at them thinking, I'm going to miss something if I'm not looking at them. They're going to do gestures I'm not going to understand. Instead, I can look around and see, like, dogs taking down people or people being executed on the side of the street or, like, military people who are raising their AK-47s and shooting them. Like, I can look at that and not worry about it, but there's nothing to look at in Skyrim.
And,
so.
Yeah, the Elder Scrolls series has been somewhat notoriously bad for having bad openings. Because, like, you always have to be, like, a prisoner of some kind, or
which is
you're, like,
fine.
Locked in a cell.
You
it's just
can
like,
do that.
Just the start just doesn't really ever reflect what the
but
bulk
you need to
of
do
the game
well.
Is going
to
be.
You yeah. need to do it well. And another thing that they really talked about that really made it that really made it stand out, I really highly recommend checking this out, because this goes for so many different games. Because, like, you're the prisoner, and then – so you're like, oh, shit, I'm about to die. And so, like, you step off the cart, and what's the first thing that happens? Character creation.
Yeah.
Immediately taken away from that whole experience. Mm-hmm. Instead, you know, they should have done this ahead of time, or done it, like, after you're supposed to be executed or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it immediately pulls you away from the game.
I think they definitely should have done it before the game actually starts.
That would have worked. That would have easily worked.
Yeah, because they could have kept everything else the same. The reason why they probably wouldn't do it after the execution is because there are specific lines that people say, referring to your race or whatever, but
they could just not have done that.
That's true, but it helps you get immersed in the world. It's like
they immediately take me away from.
It's like you actually are that character because they're referring to you like that. Travis, please.
Or what they could have done, which would have been funny as they were saying, is that they could have had you create a character and then be executed.
Yeah, be executed. And then have to create another one.
And then create another one.
That would be something.
So, but, you know, there's so many more points that they discussed that were well argued. But
yeah, I really like extra credits. I like that their videos are really directed towards people who, like, want to be game designers or people who are interested in
game theory.
Yeah, like game theory. Rather than them pandering people who might not really understand what they're talking about or whatever.
Like zero punctuation.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I really like extra credits. They also did a really good analysis of Spec Ops The Line.
Oh, I watched the playthrough last week, actually.
Such a good game.
I've never played
it. It's one of my favorite shooters of all time.
And it's so true.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough games hit that.
Yeah, they hit exactly. They hit the nail right on the head with that game. But yeah, the extra credits did it. Really in-depth analysis that really helps you understand everything that the developers were actually going for in that game.
I love extra credits. I would highly recommend people watch it, you know, just to get more informed. If you're a gamer, that is. If you're not into gaming, don't watch it because you're not going to give it
to
it.
It's not gonna
and
make
I don't
sense.
Know why you listen to this podcast unless you just think this is great. But
yeah, you know, because we're so funny.
Absolutely. Speaking of funny.
Okay.
I think I told you I'm really into survival craft games.
Sure.
And which is why I got Don't Starve mm-hmm. on winter break, which was fun for like a good couple weeks. I bought it for $3. I really
good
can't
deal.
Complain.
Yeah.
But Stranded Deep, have you heard of that game?
I've seen it on Steam, but I haven't really looked into it.
I'm surprised because like everybody's been playing it.
Yeah.
It's like the new Forest game, except
but it's like underwater.
It's like Castaway. No, it's not underwater.
Oh.
That's Subnautica. That one's completely underwater. And it's in like really disgusting
I don't
alpha.
Know what that is. I might be thinking of like Depth.
It's
like a big shark.
But what this is basically, obviously, it's like the forest plane crash, except you crash into the sea, and you have a raft and a paddle. That's how you start. And you basically are going from island to island, checking shipwrecks and getting loot and basically surviving. Now, it's in really early alpha, so, like, there really is no end game. It can get boring really quick. But it's a brand new one that I've seen a lot of people play. It's really cool because they have a new crafting system where instead of, like, opening up a queue and doing it, you have to actually set the items down on the ground together, like, more realistic, put the
oh,
items
really?
Down on the ground, and then you can choose what you want to make out of it.
Huh.
It's actually really cool. It's
interesting.
Gorgeous to look at. You know, it's really cool because they have, like, sharks in the water. They have whales, marlins, crabs. It's just a really cool game. I wish I could play it. If I had a computer, I could play it, but I don't. But it's one
it's
of the new, those new games that a lot of people have been playing. It's actually really cool.
I saw a video for this other game called Lethal League. Lethal League.
Oh, Lethal League.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Have you seen this at all?
No. I haven't
even
heard of it.
It's basically like if you took Super Smash Brothers,
yeah.
But instead of attacking each other, you were like put into a box and you had to hit a ball. And when the ball like hits a player, then you know they're dead for that round. And it's like every time you hit the ball keeps going faster and faster. And each of the different characters have all these special abilities and stuff. And the game is just like absolute pure chaos the entire time.
Oh my gosh.
And it looked absolutely awesome. And I think there's actually online multiplayer for it. So I might, if that game ever goes on sale on Steam, I'll probably pick that up.
There's, you know, since I've been watching Markiplier, I've actually been introduced to the whole indie game industry,
yeah.
which is totally eye-opening. Because I'd never had a computer, so I'd never been interested in this stuff.
Right.
And I've never been, never introduced to it, never really cared about it. But now I'm seeing a lot of cool games that, you know, going back to your Spec Ops, the line, you know, that really touch on a different side of gaming. Yeah. Rather than I'm the ultimate soldier where all I need is a health pack and that can cure any, you know, or like I regenerate health within 30 seconds from 60 bullet wounds to the chest.
So I can do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Yeah. Exactly. And that I automatically know how to use any gun, even though it's from a brand new alien species that we've never encountered before, but for some reason we have the ammo for it, and I know how to use it.
Somehow I know how to use this gun in this weird floating vehicle.
Yeah.
Don't understand.
Shout out to you, Halo. But I still love it. I still love your game, but there's a lot of stuff that's not discussed there. So going on those indie games, have you ever heard of One Chance?
No.
It's a pixel game. Basically, you're given a few choices. You have 7 days because you created a cure for all diseases in the world.
Oh, nice. Way to go.
Which is awesome, except you find out on the second day that you created a virus that kills all cells.
Oh.
Kills bad cells, it kills all living cells. Of course, it's exaggerated because in 7 days, like in the game, all the trees die, everything like that. That's not exactly how it happened. But of course,
totally how it would happen.
You know, and it goes on this game like, do I work on a cure or everybody's going to die anyway? So what's the point? Do I go hang out with a hooker or a chick with pixelated boobs? You know, that asked me to go get a drink, or do I go spend it with my family? Because you know, chances are we're going to die anyway. Right. Why not spend it with my family? So you have all these different choices, and then you in the end you have one chance that if you do it and get it, that you're able to get a cure, but it's an amazing game. Like it touches on those like heartstrings. Like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Like this could, you're like, this might happen or whatever. But it gets you thinking, rather than just being the super soldier that can save the world.
It's incredible how when you take away the production value for a lot of games, and that's basically what you know indie games are, how much better like the storytelling and some of the like gameplay mechanics become. Because that's really what they have to focus on making rather than making these super HD graphics that they don't have the money to make anyway.
All it is just soldiers in superpower gear.
Yeah. So
being bland.
A lot of indie games have to, you know, focus on different aspects of their
and bring new mechanics.
Of their game mechanics.
Bring new everything. So So that, you know, that's one thing I really liked about watching these playthroughs now. And like, I know you're not a big fan of Markiplier, but that's like the only way I can get like a huge diversity of these different games, because if I wanted to go look for by myself, I really don't know what you would search under.
Right.
So instead, you know, like he does 2 videos a day now, and it goes through all these different types of games, and it is a great way to expose me to these. So,
and if anybody else is looking for more, you know, indie type games, I'd recommend going on Steam and looking at Greenlight, because
or Game Jolt.
Yeah, because they have this program on Steam where indie developers can submit their games to. You know, to Steam, then people vote on which ones they want to be put onto the store and stuff. So you can find a lot of really good indie games by going through there.
Excellent.
Anything else? Are we about done? We're about out of time.
Yeah, we are running out of time, so...
So I just want to mention one thing that I wanted to make sure we waited till the end because it's super depressing. But, and I was kind of hoping other people would be here because we already talked about this, but I just want to talk about Monty Ohm and how depressed I am that he died.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I thought we were talking about something actually depressing.
I mean, that's actually depressing.
Okay, keep going.
Super sad about it.
I mean, it's terrible the guy died so young, sure.
And, like, and now we don't know what's going to happen with some of their series. And it's like, oh, I'm sad.
Well, do you want to explain to who he is to the people who don't know? Goodness.
People know Monty Ohm.
I didn't know who it was when you said it. I was
but you don't know anybody's name, so.
I really don't.
So Monty Ohm is the guy who started, you know, making the animations in... Red versus Blue, like the CGI animations, and he's also the creative mind behind Ruby. And this past weekend he died from a severe allergic reaction to a basic medical procedure, and they didn't give any more details than that. But
probably just anesthesia.
I mean, yeah, that's what I would assume, but yeah, I don't exactly know. I'm saying a lot, because I don't know what to say.
Remember when we used to cut all those out?
Yeah, no, I don't do that anymore. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, and it makes no difference.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
This one we wanted to sound professional.
Yeah.
But now we're just some
whatever.
Fun.
Yeah, so I'm super sad about that. And what was interesting is that on Friday, Bernie made a post that he was in like critical condition in the hospital, and they were talking about how he might not be able to recover. But they put a fundraiser for his medical bills, and they raised, I think, like they were asking for $50,000, and they raised $88,000 in about 3 hours.
Oh, that's fantastic.
From the community.
That's great.
So that's pretty cool. Shout out to the Rooster Teeth community. You're all super generous. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's all I have to say.
Well, I did the intro. Why don't you go and guide us out of here?
Sure. So,
do we want to end on a happy note?
No.
Oh.
Do we? Do we have something happy to talk about?
No.
That's what I thought. So thank you for listening to this Mach 7 podcast. Let's see. What have we got? We have a Twitter. Follow us on Facebook.
Wait, what page?
Subscribe to iTunes. us on iTunes. Did you make an Instagram account yet for us? Or
I didn't think you were being serious.
I mean, I wasn't, but I figured you might do it anyway.
No,
so.
I'm not going to do it if you weren't serious.
All right, so
if you guys want one, just say yes in the comments.
Don't follow us on Instagram because you won't be able to find us. And
we'll see you next week.
Stick tuned next week for another episode. Hopefully it'll be more than just the two of us. But, you know, people are lame, so what can you do?
Bye.
Bye.